It's Thursday, June 13th, 2013, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes other stuff. You're listening to Episode 17, At Least the Art is Pretty. Running time for this episode is 48 minutes.
Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games. My name is Jeremy.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
I really wanted to do that out of order, but I paused and then Zach didn't pick it up, so...
Do you have an order? Do you usually just go after me?
Yeah. Yeah, you introduce us, and then I go, and then Zach goes.
I actually introduce myself. I mean, unless by us you mean the podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We are the podcast. Actually, on the internet, we're just like this voice amalgamation. We aren't actual people.
That's well, true. We don't even have pictures of ourselves on our face page. Face
I do.
Page?
Well, I have
do.
My...
I don't know about you, Rubes.
No, I have my weird... Halo emblem on there.
I have the picture of the blue guy silhouette.
So clearly, you know what this tells people is that you and I, Jeremy, are just, you know, some mixing board things that Tyler uses.
I'm the face man.
You're a
clearly.
Mysterious guy with a mask. I am senior mixing board. That's why I'm in charge.
Senior mixing board. The greatest luchador who ever lived.
Also in the background, we have Tyler's college buddy, Ryan, who may or may not butt in. Looks like he's being good at being quiet, but... If
that's
that
not
going to
last long.
You won't have to be like, who is this mysterious stranger on the podcast?
No, they still will be.
Now, he's like the Lone Ranger or the Green Ranger from Power Rangers. He's like the guy who comes in only when we play the flute.
I actually rewatched the original Green with Evil series of Power Rangers with my brother because he'd never seen it before. And all of Power Rangers is on Netflix now. God, that is a terrible, terrible show. Like, even this five-parter is just so poorly paced and there's no drama. And, like, you know who the Green Ranger is from the beginning, but the show still treats it like it's a big reveal when the rest of the cast finds out.
Even as a kid, I don't remember that being a big surprise.
I kind of wish I knew where my blanket was for that, because I don't care about the show or anything like that, but that was a really warm blanket.
Yeah, you did have a sweet Power Rangers blanket. That's true.
I did.
Sweet blanket, bro.
I really want my Megazord toy, but I'm pretty sure that got sold in the garage sale. Then I could put Batman on top of it, and it would be perfect.
Completely random, but mildly related, I lost Banjo-Kazooie.
Oh, you want my copy?
I'm not going to play it anytime soon. I was just looking through my stack of N64 games and noticing that it wasn't there recently.
Well, I've got a 360 version as well as the N64 version, so if you want it.
Fair enough. I wouldn't be denying you your Banjos.
Nope, or my Kazoos. Or my Kazooies. Or my Toodles? Is that her name?
I think his sister? Yeah, I think so. Or Gruntilda.
Gruntilda is great because she rhymes. I can't think of anything that rhymes with rhymes.
It gets... kind of redundant, because she does it all the times.
That's true. And then in the second game, her sisters make her stop because it's annoying.
Honestly, that's a pretty good reason to. At least it's a plot reason, kind of.
Yeah. So, Zach anyway, is just... Zach, since you're just staring at us, why don't you start off with what you've been playing?
I've continued my game of Kingdoms of Amalur, but I'm starting to slow down quite a bit on that, just because...
Because it's an MMO.
It's long. MMO. Yeah, pretty much. And then
your friends can't bug you to level up more so you can run sweet dungeons together to get sweet swords from sweet skeletons.
My friends never bothered me to level up more to go get sweet crap from anybody in the first place.
I did, but you're like, I don't even want to start playing. I'm going to play Kingdoms of Amalur.
Yay! And I've also, because I've been watching a lot of Bronze League Heroes, I started playing StarCraft and StarCraft 2 again.
Are you in the Bronze League?
Actually, I am. I looked at it. I am in Bronze League.
Okay, so you have to dig yourself out of there so that you can be in the next league up so you can laugh at all the people and say, you guys suck.
I can laugh at them anyway. I've noticed I make very seldom of the same mistakes Bronze League heroes make.
My mistake is too many nukes and not enough Marines.
Okay, you are amazing with nukes, but you're terrible with everything else.
That's because I don't understand how that game works.
No, you really don't.
SCVs and supply depots. That's how that game works.
Well, yeah, and that's what I build, and then I fill up all my supply with nukes.
You know your main problem? StarCraft 2, nukes don't take supply.
Oh, well, then I'll have Marines and nukes no tanks.
See, your main problem? That right there was your main problem with StarCraft. You play Terran. The Terran way to play is tanks. More tanks, some tanks.
Dropships to move your tanks.
Yes, if you need to move your tanks, dropships are a fairly good way. But tanks, not ghosts, tanks.
I don't care about the ghosts, I care about the nukes that the ghosts can target, fire. They don't actually fire the nukes, they just give the order, I guess.
Tanks are more cost effective.
Probably.
Depends on what you're taking out with the nukes, but for the most part, yeah. Anything else?
Not that I can think of.
Well, I've been playing Reformat Your Computer, and oh, wow, the problem is still there. God damn it. That's not a very fun game.
I kind of thought that was going to be the case. I'm telling you, it's a hardware issue.
It is a hardware issue, but I run the diagnostic and like, hey, your hard drive is broken. That's the problem. I'm like, what? No, no, that is. I'm not sure what the problem is, but I'm sure it's not that.
I've never had that problem
before. So really, the diagnosis caused you to have apoplexy, which in itself is a hardware problem for
also,
you.
Also, Zach, my problem is that no one has had this problem before.
That sounds like my Wii.
Yeah, okay.
You remember that?
Speaking of that, I've been playing some more Super Mario Galaxy. I'm 3 stars away from Bowser.
Sweet.
But I took a break because if you follow our blog, you will probably have noticed I talked about how Mega Man X was on sale this week. And oh my god, have I been playing me some Mega Man X on the Wii U. It's not quite as good as Egoraptor says it is, but goddamn, it's good.
It is a really good game.
I wouldn't know.
You should play it sometime, although we're probably going to play it for the podcast sometime, so you'll have to play it sometime. Although it is also a platformer, and I've never really seen you play a platformer ever.
Also, it's kind of a hard platformer. It's definitely a fair platformer.
But it is hard. It's not outrageously hard. There are patterns to everything, but the patterns sometimes come so fast.
Especially the bosses, you tend to have to fight them 4 or 5 times to figure out what the pattern is.
Boomer Coanger.
Everyone says Boomer Coanger is the hardest. I beat him first. I found him super easy. It took me 1 life.
Really?
Yeah. And then I Boomer Coanged Sting Chameleon. And
Boomer Coanged!
That's a verb now?
Yes. Well, because in Mega Man, you get the power of the enemy after you kill a boss. And his power is a boomerang, so Boomer Coang! And chameleons are weak to boomerangs. Duh.
Well, obviously. That's actually something I never got about X, is how are you supposed to figure out the weaknesses?
Ice is weak to fire, that makes sense.
Okay, and electricity is weak to ice. That's where it stops making sense.
Nonsense. That makes perfect sense. Ice doesn't conduct electricity, does it?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it does. Fairly well.
Not distilled ice.
Oh, yeah, that is true. If it has no electrolytes, it's not going to do jack.
Although, at least, a lot of the patterns of the bosses make you think, hey, this weapon might work, and that's the weapon that's effective against them. So, at least it's kind of got that going for it. Like, the chameleon is super vulnerable to the boomerang arc. Storm Eagle is really vulnerable to the way the sting shoots out.
I would debate that one. That's one of the few that I always thought was kind of eh.
Storm Eagle's music is amazing, though. It's worth playing that stage over and over just for that.
The actual boss fight where he, like, destroys the airship, I really like Storm Eagle, but
Mega Man X is great. And then since I've been reinstalling stuff and I need something to just sort of abnegate myself with, I got Zen Pinball on the Wii U and bought the Avengers table. So I've been playing Avengers Pinball, not quite as good as Dark Knight Pinball. Just like Avengers was not quite as good as Dark Knight, but it's got a lot of cool features. You have to select your Avenger, and they have little pinballs modeled after every Avenger, and you can start different modes and get different bonus points depending on which one you choose. So that's pretty cool. Hulk gets most points.
Well, that's because Hulk smashes the table.
Yeah.
Yeah, how does the Hulk actually bounce off of anything? I thought Hulk would go through anything you decided to point him at.
I think that's how you win. You just go through things.
You can win pinball?
If you have the highest score in the world, I mean, there are pinball tournaments. You can win those.
So I consider...
I mean, you can't win football, can you? You can win a football game.
No, you can win football.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, but you can't win a pinball game. You can't win a game of pinball.
Well, there are a bunch of tables have multiplayer modes where you switch off on ball and it keeps score individually.
That is true. If you're doing it against someone else, you can just get a higher score. Pokemon Pinball, I consider myself to one if I have gotten 1 billion points or higher in at least 15 Pokemon. So,
fair enough.
Arbitrary goals are how you win.
1 billion points?
That's low in competitive pinball.
Yeah, well, especially on Pokemon Pinball that gives you a lot of points, but that's still a large number of points on Pokemon Pinball, so...
I've never played Pokemon Pinball, so I don't really know how the scoring works, but I know most pinball games you get 1,000 points for, like, running into a bumper.
Yeah, this is, like, 100 points for a bumper and, like, 1,000 points for hitting a button.
It's been a long time since I played that game.
What, Pokemon Pinball?
Yeah, it was an amazing game, though.
So, actually, my theory is that in the games, because everyone always has the same type of Pokemon, the reason is because they're all playing Pokemon Pinball while you're playing an actual Pokemon game, and they can't move locations, which is why they have 15 Magikarp, because they can't get out of goddamn Celadon City.
Don't. On this table.
Well, I was making a point.
Look at that waveform. Look at it. It's ugly.
I was making a point with that smash. Hulk,
form at least looks okay. Although it did stall Audacity when you did that for a second.
That's because my computer is extremely susceptible to being moved.
Well, don't then. See, even I refrain myself. Okay, Captain Smash, what have you been playing?
Actually not a whole lot. I've been playing some Hyperdimension still. That's apparently my game of procrastination recently. A little bit more Minecraft. I now have a sweet bridge over water with a glass house underneath of it so that you can see the water on both sides.
That's
so don't
cool.
throw rocks.
I haven't
throw rocks in Minecraft.
Thanks for
ruining
my fun.
You can throw snowballs though.
So. Yeah, that's true.
But I have a nice little hopper system, so when you pick apricorns in the Pixelmon mod, they kind of like go flying random directions. So I have them planted on a floor where it's completely surrounded by hoppers, and then the hoppers redirect to the top of a furnace. There's another hopper filled with coal that redirects that to the furnace, so they constantly get cooked, and then that gets sent out to another floor where I have my forging anvil on so that when you forge bases and lids, they fly out at random directions, land in the same hopper that the apricorns will eventually get into, and they all go to the same chest.
Shiny.
That and sounds like way too much work.
Is that on Ed's server or yours?
That's on mine. I haven't done a whole lot on Ed since we built our sweet gym with the boulder badge inlaid in the floor.
Aw, man, sweet.
And it has two dueling platforms that you get teleported to, and it's got a great ball side and a pokeball side. It's pretty awesome. Oh, I've also been playing Terranigma. I wrote an article about it. I think that will drop the week that this episode drops, so...
Sweet.
Terranigma's awesome, so...
This is dropping a week from today, so...
Yeah, I think that's right. I'm pretty sure it goes out on Monday, and then this episode will be on Yeah, anyway.
Anything else?
No, that's pretty much it. I haven't been playing a whole lot, so...
So no brawlers?
Oh, well, you know, other than our game of the week. There's a reason I don't play brawlers.
They're awful?
No, okay, well, yes, I would like to qualify that with why I think they're awful.
Scott Pilgrim is good. Even you enjoyed Scott Pilgrim and picking up trash cans and throwing them at people.
I think part of that is multiplayer. I enjoyed Double Dragon a lot more when I was playing it with you than I would have playing it by myself.
I agree, and I think that's one of the problems with this game, but we'll get there.
Point, Jeremy, I haven't played Scott Pilgrim since you were at my house, and we played it as a team.
Well, yeah, I think that's better as a multiplayer game, but I think it's actually a good game on its own. Whereas this clearly was not. Double Dragon, really not.
Streets of Rage is pretty decent on its own, so... One of the reasons I don't like brawlers is the... And Double Dragon got so close to being awesome with this, is that the number of moves you have available to you gets stale really quickly because you end up using the same ones over and over. There's not a whole lot of variety in what you can do, and it ends up just being trading blows with the same basic enemy 50 million times.
But isn't The Legend of Zelda kind of that too? I mean, you only have one move. Two if you kept the boomerang or the bow, but...
But the focus of Zelda is not on the combat. Brawlers, the entire point of the game, is beat guys up, move forward. Zelda, it's beat guys up because they're in the way of exploring more places where you might get sweet treasure, yo.
Sweet treasure, yo.
Sweet treasure,
it's magically delicious.
Yar har, feudal-dee-dee. Being a pirate is our... Oh, look, shinies. So, yeah, I feel like brawlers lack depth, generally. I have seen very few that do it well. There was one, I think it was the Bouncer. It was a 3D brawler made by Square Enix.
Never heard of it.
But you, like, get points every time you beat someone so that you can invest it in various skills so that you can beat people different ways. It was almost good, except the story was kind of how Square Enix likes to do stories sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. Some of their stories make sense. This one didn't.
Final Fantasy VI, Chrono Trigger. Final Fantasy VII makes sense.
Yeah, but Chrono Trigger was Square and Enix before Square Enix was the actual company. So, I'm not willing to give that to them. That was Enix more than Square.
Okay. Well, my problem with brawlers is that they're just not fun. The combat has to be fun for you to make an entire game around it. We have fighting games, and those are fun, or at least good ones are, because the fighting engine is good. It's fun to, you know, quarter circle forward and shoot bullets at your opponent until they die forever.
I can't imagine who you're talking about.
Bing, bing, bang! Bing, bing, bing! Bing, bing, bing!
Also, it's fun to jump in, you know, and
Katana
do a sweet combo in their face.
And part of it is a strategy. When you're playing against another person or even a computer, it's really a chess match, except instead of moving pawns, you're throwing fireballs at each other.
Yeah, and especially when you have lag time after a move, that's a risky move, and if it fails, you've left yourself open.
That explains why I'm terrible at fighting games. Well, that does as well. I'm terrible at chess, too.
Well, that's exactly why I like fencing. Fencing is like a real-life fighting game for me. You have to outwit your opponent and move at the right time. That's all a fighting game is. Unfortunately, I am much worse at fighting games than I am at fencing, but...
You're still better than me, but then again, that's not exactly saying much.
I played against Daniel in what is both of our favorite fighting games once, and he destroyed me in probably about 30 seconds, my best against his best. I hit him twice.
Which one was that?
Capcom? Capcom versus SNK2. It's got a roster of like 50 characters, and most of them play differently, which is kind of awesome.
Yeah, I like 3Ds. I don't really care for the 2Ds.
Yeah.
I know you and Jeremy like the 2Ds.
I play 3D fighters the same way I play 2D fighters, but KD can consistently button mash her way to victory on Soul Calibur, so I'm thinking maybe I'm playing 3D fighters wrong.
I can beat you in Dead or Alive.
Well, yeah, that's because you practice Dead or Alive. I have not.
Practice is probably...
You have played it before.
Yeah, that's probably a closer... that's probably more appropriate.
Well, one of the things good about fighting games, though, is they have not an infinite depth, but the depth is really there. You consider yourself pretty good at Marvel vs. SNK, I bet. But obviously, Daniel just showed you that there's a lot to go. You could be much better if you played more.
Although, that said, we went one match with not his best against one of my not best, and we're more evenly matched there. He's just really good with his best character.
Well, that makes a lot of sense, because that's probably the person you practice with most.
Yeah, I use like 5 or 6 characters in that game. I like variety. I never like to do the same thing more than once in a row.
Like when I'm playing in like Dead or Alive and whatnot, if I'm not playing my best characters, I'm in deep trouble.
That's like Icon Brawl.
That's just a terrible game.
I would debate that. It's not a great game.
So would I, but we're here to talk about a different terrible game that I don't think any of us are going to debate.
Let's talk about something else. Nice chair back there in the corner there, Tyler.
Zach, I will mute you so hard that you won't even be able to talk. Okay.
That's a great threat.
I had a transition that you ruined like 3 times, so thanks
Woo-hoo!
For that. But I was going to say, one of the problems with brawlers is they're never that deep, and usually you only have one character that they have to design. You'd think they could do okay, but the fighting is just... not that fun. When I think of a good brawler, I think of a game that's not even a brawler, which is Arkham Asylum, which is a game where the combat is a lot of fun. You get to punch guys, you feel really powerful. And the thing that has really stood out about it to me as a design level is that when a guy is down, you have a finishing move. You can wait for them to get up, and if you have other guys you have to fight, you kind of have to. But if there's nothing pressing you, you can just take him out immediately and permanently. You never have to wait for a guy to get up. And I think that's great.
Another problem I have with a lot of brawlers is that they don't really have a tell before they attack. You're sitting there punching them, and they can just interrupt your attack, and you take damage. It's usually not much, but eventually it'll chip away. If there's some way you could react a little better to that, I would like a lot of brawlers more.
Well, I think part of the problem with a lot of brawlers is that they're taking one element out of better games, you know, games that do it much better with combat, and they're trying to make it stand on its own. That doesn't work in nearly anything you do. I mean, a while back, we talked about, me and Tyler talked about it because Jeremy didn't know what it was, but Killswitch had the cover-based combat. That's all it was. And nowadays, you see stuff like Gears of War, which is just cover-based combat, but they do it much better because they added other things into it. Brawlers take away everything that makes other games entertaining.
I generally agree with that. I would classify, like, Devil May Cry as a brawler, though. It's just a 3D brawler. I mean, what are you basically doing other than button mashing? I think the difference there is variety in ability. They give you a lot of different things to do, so it never really gets stale.
That's true, and the enemies feel much more fair, even though they have infinite hit points and never die and kill you instantly.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing I was complaining about earlier, where enemies have no tell. In Devil May Cry, they have a wind-up. Which, you know, real life, that's not super realistic, aside from the fact that you're fighting giant floating guys with scissors. But aside from that, it's fair for a video game. That's really how they should work. Humans learn by noticing patterns. If there's no pattern, what is there to overcome? What's the challenge other than button mash better?
Games should not be fair. At least a single-player game should not be fair, because you should always eventually be able to overcome them.
Yeah,
they should always be tilted towards the player.
Yeah, I was going to say, it should be unfair in your favor.
Well, yeah, the player is the hero. The player should be the one that has the advantage.
Unless purpose of the game is to make you feel terrible.
Well,
then meet my garbage disposal. That's why I've never played Dark Souls.
Because your garbage disposal makes you feel terrible?
No, if they're going to...
I got what he meant.
Well, yeah.
As I don't know if we said on this podcast, but if the definition of art is something that causes humans to feel emotion, then frustrating video games are the most powerful art in the world.
Generally, I have had some games that stir me as strongly, but not in frustration.
I'm usually frustrated.
You're usually frustrated about everything. Oh no, my kill-death ratio is only 24 to 0. I'm doing so poorly.
That's only against you.
Well, since we've been talking about it without talking about it, I guess it's about time we get to our assignment, which is Comic Zone. We can thank Zach for this one.
I consider it my revenge for Tyler inflicting Ghosts and Goblins on me.
You know, this game is better than Ghosts and Goblins.
Agreed.
Which is why I don't feel that bad about inflicting it on you.
It's much shorter. It doesn't make you do it again after you beat it. Well, actually, it has multiple endings, so if you want to see both of them and don't have save states, it does.
You know what game has multiple endings? Chrono Trigger. You know what game doesn't need multiple endings? This game.
The endings are both stupid, too.
Oh, it's only two?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not that bad.
And one of them, the girl drowns in gasoline during the final boss fight and is dead, so sketches the press when he leaves Comic Zone.
What girl?
The general girl who's all your mission support.
She isn't even there most of the time. She's like talking to you on a walkie-talkie from 2 pages away.
And the bad ending is so depressed about it. It's like, this can hardly be called a victory. But the good ending, you and her both escape the comic, and she becomes real, and you make out on a gargoyle like you're Batman, and then your comic becomes the best-selling comic book of all time, and then your rat eats a bunch of cheese that was donated to him and lives in the sewers.
Okay, so I mentioned that this really sounds like a 90s wish fulfillment plot game. You said it's...
Rob Liefeld is the name I use?
Yeah, I was letting you say it because it was a good joke.
Oh,
so.
Okay. I didn't think it was that good because Rob Liefeld is about as hard a target as Twilight.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Rob Liefeld is Twilight. That explains so much.
The Buffy villain, not the book. See, that was a better joke, but no one's going to get it.
Comic Zone is a game about a guy who is...
Named Sketch Turner.
Yeah, named Sketch Turner.
I will admit that part makes me laugh.
I'm hoping his name isn't actually Sketch, and that's like a nickname. But he's sitting in his room at night drawing comics when lightning bolt strikes through the top of his apartment building somehow. Oh, and by the way, he lives in Gotham City, apparently. There are gargoyles on the edge of his apartment building. Lightning strikes the panel he's drawing somehow through a building and brings his villain to life, who then... inexplicably, has the power to send him into a comic book, but the only way the villain can become flesh and blood is by killing him in a comic book. I'm not really sure how this works.
He's
also
going to steal his life.
Also, Sketch's comic is terrible. It makes no sense.
Also, the characters in the comic have to explain what's going on to him. Also, his pet rat got trapped in the comic, too, who now has a lightning tail.
Although, in between every level, the rat is, like, on the drawing table next to a can of soda, so I'm not... Is he really there, or is the villain drawing the rat in to, like, help him? Like,
I think Sketch probably was struck by lightning and was killed, and this is, like, the last fever dream he's having before all the electrons finish firing.
As we said before, this game is a brawler. That's the basic game, but sort of the premise is it takes place in a comic book. And they really try to leverage that. Every screen is a panel, and when you finish it, you go on to the next panel. And like a comic book, there are transitions like later, or at the parking lot, or whatever. So it lets you, you know, get into a fight and go on to the next one. The problem is the fights are boring, and this just lets you get from fight to fight.
I really like the idea. The art style is awesome. The main character looks a little goofy sometimes in some of his animations, but I really like the idea of moving through a comic book like this, but the combat is so lame.
Yeah, it's pathetic. I mean, I do like the idea of the character moving through, and whenever you reach the end of a panel, he kind of grabs onto the side of it and swings into the next one.
I may also mention that, inexplicably, despite being a starving artist, he also knows Kung Fu.
Somehow.
Doesn't every artist know Kung Fu?
Do you know Kung Fu?
No. I don't know Kung Fu.
Do you know Mai Tai?
I don't know Mai Tai, but I'm sure I could find somebody who knows Mai Tai.
We're not asking about your tie, we're asking about Jeremy's tie.
Oh, no, I don't know your tie either.
Like I said, the art style is really great. You can even break panels sometimes to get through, but it never really... They're, like, sort of worn, but it's kind of hard to tell. And you can never go back to old panels, which makes the game feel very claustrophobic, which would be cool if that was what they're going for, but it just makes everything feel really small. And it's a really short game. It's only 6 levels long.
There are branching paths in it, so I could see if the game was actually enjoyable, that the playthroughs would be interesting every time because there are different paths you can take. But I don't really ever want to go and explore all the paths.
Yeah, and the paths just have different stupid puzzles, and we'll get to the puzzles in a minute, or the exact same fights as the other path in a slightly different environment. And since you can't go back, there's no way to check the other path and see which one is better.
So what do you have available to you in terms of combat, aside from items? We'll get to items eventually. I don't know that we're going to enumerate them.
You have different combos depending on the direction you're pressing, which is a good idea. Up lets you uppercut, up diagonal lets you do high kicks. Mid is just basic punches, low is a low sweep kick, duh.
And down diagonal is like this awkward like step on your foot attack that ends up in a sweeping jump kick.
Yeah, it's odd. You also have this useless special move if you hold the attack button where you rip off the panel and make a paper airplane, but it takes so much health to do, it's not even worth it.
It's like a sixth to a quarter of your health. If you're in a room of 12 guys, totally. Also, it can hit you on the way back. It works like a boomerang.
You also have a special move that you choose at the beginning of the game and can never switch. They include a shoulder charge that's useless, blocking, the Shaolin kick that's actually pretty good.
That's the one I used, was the Shaolin kick, once I realized how to change it.
I'm thinking my version didn't have these, because I always had a shoulder block. It's just one of the things you can do while pushing a movable object.
No, this was like a move you would do in combat.
Is a Shaolin kick like this, like the scissor kick from Street Fighter 3 that Ryu can do?
No, it's like a bicycle kick almost.
Okay. I was going to say, if you do
a rotating flip kick type thing, yeah.
If you do back and then forward, whatever direction you press forward to, you do like a turnaround kick. That's useful if you have multiple opponents.
I saw that. No, this was its own button, and it was a move I couldn't do with the regular combos at all. And like I said, the shoulder charge sucked so much that I restarted and tried with the Shaolin kick because it's what the Let's Play I watched recommended.
I think that would, a flying kick of some sort I think would be really useful. But
well, it sends them flying too, so it...
It basically knocks them down in one hit. It does take a little of your health though, but usually worth it.
Yeah, health is actually a fairly limited commodity in this. In a lot of brawlers, or at least newer ones, but before this... You could beat up trash cans, and there'd be trash turkey in there, and you could totally be like, I'm gonna gnaw on some trash turkey, and you feel better for it.
Why is it every video game character feels comfortable eating stuff out of the trash?
Simon Belmont only eats it out of walls.
Yeah, he never eats it off the ground unless it fell out of a wall onto the ground.
And then you have items. We already talked about your rat sketch, or no, sketch Road is your kill. Name. Roadkill. Yeah.
Because that's totally what I would name a rat.
Did I mention this game has a terrible sense of humor? Your character is always, like, cursing with, you know...
The little...
random punctuation.
Yeah, that's what it was. The random symbol.
And now I can beep that out, and it'll seem like we're transitioning from a medium. But my brother, who was watching me play, always chose to interpret him as no matter what he said. So he's like, I can't see anything. It's dark as
I've used that in the past.
So he's Frank Miller.
No, that's goddamn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I really like at the end of levels, he turns into the superhero guy.
Why?
Yeah!
Into a superhero guy. This isn't a superhero comic. He seems to have no interest in superheroes. What?
I really like the first time he does that. He's like, what the f***?
That was pretty funny. The only one I got to.
It was great because Alex was watching me play it, and I got to the end of the level, and she happened to look up right as that happened, and we're both like, what the hell was that? And he's like, I don't know. What the hell was that?
And anyway, Roadkill, he will go around, his tail lightning things, and then you can pick him back up. He'll also find you other items in hidden spots.
He'll also flip switches for you if he can get to them.
Yeah, the items really make the puzzles easier, but you have to know they're there, so it's really a guide dang it moment. And there isn't a good guide for this game.
Oh man, are we going to link to TV Tropes in the show notes because of that?
Why wouldn't we? I mean, you do the show notes, so...
Oh, okay, that is true. I have the power.
Why would we put the what on TV Tropes?
Guide dang it.
Guide dang it.
Oh.
It's when the moon logic is so moony, you need a guide.
Oh, okay, I've never heard of that, but that totally makes sense.
TV Tropes, it'll waste all your time.
No, it wastes your time. I don't bother with it.
Well, then you should, because then you know tropes. And you're a writer, so you should really know them anyway.
I know the major tropes. I don't know any of those things. Like the random ones that you guys are always talking about.
Like biblical name, noun, verber?
Like Luke Skywalker.
That's the hero's journey character is said to be biblical name, noun, verber.
Yes.
I don't think any of mine have biblical names, now that I think about it.
Well, then you're defying a trope. Good job.
Or you have Eris and Bob.
Oh, man. Game of Thrones totally has Aerys and Bob.
Yeah.
You have, like, Nilianus and Ned.
Well, Nilianus is a wolf, to be fair. And Ned's
is that a name? I just made that up. So.
Yeah, I think it is the wolf that ran away's name because it bit the prince. I don't know. I look at the wiki after to try to get the name straight.
Yeah, I know who all the characters are. I don't know what any of their names are.
Also, Ned's name is Eddard. So.
What?
Yeah.
Why did they call him Ned?
Because do you want to call someone Eddard?
Why not just call him Ed?
Ned sounds cooler. Sorry, Ed.
Brian's in the background agreeing. Yeah, Ned. Totally cooler.
Before we got TV tropes derailed. Oh, yeah, items. You have a knife. It's useless. It's just a ranged weapon that you can use once.
Okay for melee combat.
You have a grenade. It instantly kills someone in his range. It's much better. You have dynamite, which explodes after a few seconds. It's really good for some of the puzzles, but not really useful in combat.
It's okay for a boss.
You have a superhero fist that kills everyone on screen and turns you into a superhero.
For no apparent reason, because as we mentioned, this is kind of like a sci-fi thing and not a superhero thing.
And that's all I can think of.
Healing potions.
Oh yeah, the critical ones. Healing potions. They heal you.
As I believe we mentioned, your rat is an item.
Yeah, I said that first.
Out of your three slots.
Yeah, you only have three slots. One of them is almost always taken up by the rat.
Since he's reusable, which is nice.
Although enemies can't kill him. But in the version I played, you had to hit, I think, C repeatedly to cycle through your items, and I hit it like four times before it actually brings up the cursor.
I think you could go into mode and change it to six button mode.
Because
the Let's Player said to do that. The Xbox version is automatically on six-button mode, because it has plenty of buttons.
I could never remember which one was which, so I always ended up using the wrong thing when I was trying to do something else.
It was actually pretty easy, but for some reason, I kept doing that too. Like, left was one, right was two, and Y was three.
Well, that's,
but
I think the reason is because it never actually labeled which one was which thing. So I didn't know which one it was talking about. What was one? What was two? I mean, one might have been the far left, two might have been the far right, and three might have been the one in the middle, for all I knew.
So really quick, how far did everyone get? Because in addition to being amusing, this is excellent exposition to explain how silly this comic book is.
Yeah, I got to the boss of level 4. Is that what you wanted me to go with?
Maybe. What's level 4?
Oh, like page 4.
Okay, Kung Fung.
Kung Fung.
Whoa, I know Kung Fung.
Yeah, Kung Fung is a wizard. He shoots fireballs at you that you have to jump over, and then his own nails. And if you dodge his nails, they get stuck in the wall, and you can kick him back into them, to which you'll say, ah, you nailed me.
Oh, man. I really, when you were, like, trying to prove yourself in the tournament, and you fight the hair chick, he's like, Mongoria, do it, baby.
Yeah. Well, the first boss is a dragon who you can just kick to death. But also, he shoots fireballs at you, and there's a barrel in the corner. And so if he shoots a fireball at the barrel lights on fire, and you can just push it under him, and he dies. To which Sketch says, you're fired.
Oh, he says that regardless of how you kill him, though, and it doesn't make any sense unless you do it that way.
Oh, I did not realize that, because I was like, huh, I wonder if I can push this barrel. Yep.
I didn't even notice a barrel until my third playthrough, and I'm like, why is there a barrel here? What would I ever do with a barrel?
I never got that far. I was apparently so bad at this that I couldn't get anywhere.
You're not missing much.
That's what it sounds like. I just feel a little bad that I wasn't able to get that far.
Like I said, I really like the comic book motif. I really like moving around a comic like this, breaking the fourth wall. But,
it does look really cool, too.
Yeah, the art in this game is actually really good.
Yeah, the Genesis continues to look spectacular, but still be a ditzy high schooler with nothing going on.
For whatever reason, I didn't think Phantasy Star was on this.
It was on the Master System, not the Genesis.
Well, yeah, that's what I figured. We haven't done anything else on the Genesis yet, have we?
We did Sonic.
Yeah, you haven't. We've done Sonic and Gunstar Heroes. I don't think you've done anything.
Nah.
Gunstar Heroes is the best of the games we have played on the Genesis, in my opinion. But
out of three?
I would agree.
Yeah, out of three.
Not a far high bar to jump.
Well, Sonic is well regarded. I mean, it's the console's killer app.
Oh, and Sega is no longer making consoles.
Yep.
And they're still on the Sonic train, and I don't know why. Nintendo's like, yeah, make that blue hedgehog. And everyone's like, why?
Yeah, there is a video exclusive Sonic coming out. Maybe it'll be good, but I'm not holding my breath.
Although you said, was it Sonic Colors or the, what's the name?
Sonic Generations, okay. I really, really liked.
I've heard Colors was all right, too. But
yeah, I've heard good things about Colors. I didn't play it.
Poor Sonic. Mario games are consistently good.
Yeah.
That's so debatable.
They're consistently good.
People who like Mario games consistently like them.
Just because you don't like platformers doesn't mean they're not good. Just because they're the same game over and over doesn't mean they're not good.
Okay, so there's something we've been avoiding, and I cautioned Zach away from it before, which is the puzzles. heavy air quotes in this game.
They're puzzles?
Well, kind of. You kind of have to, like...
Did you get to the one where you have the clock and you have to stop it on the... It's super easy.
It is, but that's such a stupid puzzle.
I managed to get to the first panel.
Okay, Ryan watched that, actually.
I don't remember where this was. It's a haze of stupidity, Zach.
No, I never got that far, but...
It's on the...
I just kept dying.
It's about three quarters of the way through the second page, I think. It's right before all the mutants ooze out of their things, and then the awkward dragon boss, who's like the mutant mother for some reason... Who looks terrible, by the way. That boss looks completely out of place.
What the hell is the plot of this comic? Who is this villain? What's his motivation? Baron Von Monocle? I mean, the way you fight the villain is you explode him. You have a switch that makes things explode, and you just keep switching it until he dies, while he tries to drown the general lady in gasoline.
I don't even... This game causes apoplexy.
There's so much exposition in this game, too, but it never explains the story or who any of the characters are.
Yeah, you just get dumped in. I imagine there might have been an instruction booklet that had some of that stuff.
I can't remember one. I think I actually owned this game on the Genesis, but I couldn't find it.
Quite possibly. I'm not sure I'd care to know who any of these people are. I don't think that would enhance my enjoyment.
Well, yeah, they didn't really do a whole lot to make you care about them.
Well, that's my point. They could have. They have a comic book. They have this cool storytelling medium, and they're doing a lot with it. Like we said, the visual style is really cool. But it's like, comic books, those are things, right?
Let's make a game around one.
The main character even comments that he only wrote the first page. So, really, he only had one page of a comic book. And the villain, who I don't think was actually anywhere on the pages that he drew, jumps out of it.
Wouldn't this have been a way cooler game if you were still the artist outside and you could, like, draw your hero items and...
That would be
couldn't
awesome.
You do a lot with that mechanic? I was just thinking about how cool it would be and, like, you could, like, draw him better panels that are safer... Like, so you could have
Tyler, get on
like that.
I'm working on another game first. I still need an artist. And you people can't draw, so...
You accept stick figures?
No. No, I do not.
Then no, I can't.
I'll get on that eventually. That actually sounds like a decent idea. This game...
But we still haven't talked about the puzzles. Which is because, really? There are things you have to break with your fists.
Which causes you to take damage.
Yeah. Whenever you punch something that isn't an enemy, you take damage. So most of the game is punching objects and getting damaged by them, like doors or blocks that are in your way inexplicably. And you can use dynamite on them, but you have to know where it is, which requires a guide, dang it.
I was playing through the game the second time, and under no provocation, Alex said, in the middle of my doing something, mandatory health drain is bullshit. Alex doesn't even play games.
Yeah, well,
it is.
What? Mandatory health drain is bullshit.
It is.
Well,
it's health tax in an already difficult combat game.
It is bullshit. And you go all the way back to the Doom game where we mentioned that the health loss as a gate to exploration is an interesting idea. But the thing is, most of the time, it is really easy to recover the lost health when you're actually wandering around. This one, I never found a recovery item beyond the one you start with, which is why I always died on the first panel of the second page.
I have found two in my multiple attempts at playing through this game.
I found, I think, four, but I got further than you did, so...
And you also used a Let's Play guide to tell you where you were trying to look.
Yeah, but I don't think it revealed any health to me. I might be wrong.
Health is an extremely rare commodity in this game, which is made worse by the fact that you have to lose it to progress. That's terrible. Who designed that?
It really feels like an old NES game where, like, okay, we can only fit 6 levels on this cartridge, so we've got to make it really hard. But they came up with such a bullshit way of making it hard. It's like they couldn't even be bothered to make a difficult game.
Well, like, Mega Man is difficult. It's a hard game, but it's fun because it's all pattern-based challenges that you can learn the secret to.
Also, Mega Man is an exception in that it teaches you everything before it throws you in a difficult situation, other than boss battles. Everything else, you encounter the challenge in an easy way before they combine them and create an actual challenge.
This one, you basically load it up, and they start smacking you around for deciding to try and play.
And there are like 6 enemies, and they have different attacks, but really fighting them doesn't play any differently than the others.
That's my big problem with brawlers in general, is that the enemies, even though they have different actions, fighting them almost always tends to play out the same.
But what about a Bobo on the helicopter?
I fight a Bobo the same way I fight most other guys. Well, jump kick.
True, but you can also lure him out of the helicopter.
Which is more fun. Fighting Obobo on the helicopter would have been the same as fighting anyone else on the helicopter, though, which was lure them out of the helicopter.
True.
I wish this game had had a helicopter, actually. Or a helicopter tree.
That's another problem. Comics have cool backgrounds, and this one has really sci-fi backgrounds, but they all blend together after a while, and you have no idea what's going on.
Well,
like, the tournament is like a cool tournament stage, but everything else is just kind of sci-fi crap.
Because you can't interact with any of it. Now, if did this, and you could interact with some of the background elements, bring that up. Like, as you said, with, you know, have the artist illustrate you a different thing or whatever, I think that would do a lot more to helping it out and making it a little bit more fun, actually making the best use of the medium that they've chosen to run with, other than it's a comic book. You can swing between panels. And even then, that's so limited as to when they say you can swing between the panels.
Well, it's when you beat the enemy, so.
I agree with you, Zach, but that's not what I'm talking about. Go back to Mega Man again. Each stage feels really different, because the fire stage has all this fire in the pits, and there's fire behind you, and it's got this real red color scheme, so it feels different than the ice level that's, you know, got the slidey platforms, but is also snowing in the background and has this real blue serene color, and that's different than the jungle level that has these trees, and the enemies are, you know, woodcutters who are cutting the trees down on you.
So
it's really well themed, and, you know, the backgrounds in this are pretty, but they all look like brown gunmetal on fire crap.
So it was way before its time.
Well, I know.
Like
it predicted
said,
the future.
Genesis and the 360 need to hook up.
You've got brown, gray, and I thought I saw some muzzle flash in there. So it's got the same palette as Call of Duty.
It's got a lot more red because everything is on fire. But yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Actually, it has a little bit of blue in the beginning because it uses the extremely cliched image of the head of the Statue of Liberty laying on the ground in the first goddamn panel.
Oh, I forgot about that. And that's in the real world, too, isn't it? Like, isn't it flooded Gotham City with the Statue of Liberty knocked over?
Oh, but also everything's on fire, even though it's flooded.
I don't remember this, but I totally believe you.
It makes no sense.
All right, so aside from my idea of completely changing the game, what do you guys think could be done to make it better?
Well, you know what game does pretend we're in a different medium way better than this? Beautiful Joe.
I've never played Beautiful Joe, but yeah, it's got all those movie-based powers like fast-forwarding and pausing and stuff.
You could have applied the same... Okay, granted, this game came way before Beautiful Joe, but you could have applied the same concept here. It takes something that makes comic books unique and make it part of the gameplay. That wasn't part of the gameplay in this. It was part of the visual presentation.
Oh, man, now I'm imagining, like, Mass Effect-style dialogues, but you can see their thought bubbles because... So you can, like, you reveal the villain's plan, not because he monologues, but because you can see his thought bubbles.
That would be amazing.
That's way too creative for this game, though.
Yeah. I think the only real thing that I would say to make the game a whole lot better is take away the health drain for trying to complete the
mandatory
obstacles.
Puzzles.
Yes.
You know, I wouldn't even mind that so much if the combat was a little more...
entertaining?
Varied. Yeah, if there was something I could do to, like, overcome the guy's guard, like, do a guard break attack, or...
Or a throw? You can do a throw, but I have no idea how. I only got it a couple times, and I don't think it breaks blocks.
Nope, you have to stun them, actually, with another hit first, and then walk into them, and then you can grab them. You can actually throw them backwards, too. I got that to happen once.
Yeah, I think every throw I did was backwards. I agree with you on the combat. I think the problem with the punching things is they meant for those to be puzzles. They meant for you to need to use your rat to find, like, dynamite or something to blow them up. But there's no indication that they're puzzles at all. It just feels like attacks.
Yeah, I didn't even know that there were things that you could use your rat to go find. The only place I ever used him, really, was to help me in combat because the enemies get distracted by him and to flip switches for other puzzles, which you still need to beat to death with your fists after he turns them off.
I was thinking about comparing this game to Super Mario Brothers, and the reason I really did that is A, I like to compare every game to that, because I feel like it should be the middle-of-the-road game, but it's like 7 out of 10 on my list. And the other thing is, you can't go back in this game, so your screen is really limited, and the only other game I could think of like that is Super Mario Brothers. And other than graphics, Mario is better in every way than this game. The challenges are better, it feels a lot more fair, the controls are tighter.
Yeah? I would have to agree with that. I'm actually wondering if this would have been better if you had if the panels took up more than a single screen, like if you could go explore the entire panel. But I don't know that that would have really done a whole lot. It would have given you more variety.
Do you mean the page?
No, the individual panels on a page. Like, what if those took up more than, like, basically one screenful? And you could, like, walk around a huge panel and then, I don't know, like, if your character was smaller, drawn smaller on the page?
Oh, okay.
I get what you're saying, but I think what Zach was hinting at might be better, where you can explore the entire page, but go in any order. And, like, the page has a panel order that, like, it recommends, but you can, like, go further on, and maybe enemies that you were supposed to defeat in other panels are still around on those later panels if you skip them.
Oh, and there would be, like, a branching story thing? Like, if you didn't defeat them early enough, they completed their plot later, but then you could go back into a different panel and beat them? Oh, that would be so cool!
That wasn't what I was suggesting, but that is freaking awesome, Jeremy.
So, yeah, I have to rate this game below Double Dragon 2. Even co-op would have made this more fun, I think, making fun of it. But I don't like the sense of humor. It seems crude, but the two of you seem to enjoy it a bit.
Well, I'm easier to please than you are. It made me laugh on a few moments.
I was trying to get into it, but Sketch is such...
Your descriptions of the like the random things that they said at the end of the boss fights made me laugh. I have to admit that.
Honestly, like I said, this feels like a 90s insert fantasy. Everything about this is super 90s, and it's super... It just feels like the guy who wrote this game is like, man, I should be the main character of this game. I'm better than this. I should go to my own fantasy world where I should, like, be able to beat people up with my awesome kung fu, and he's probably, like, an orange belt in karate or something.
Well, yeah, like I said, below Double Dragon 2, above the original Double Dragon, because the controls are a bit better, the enemies are a bit better, and the music doesn't make me want to kill myself.
I think it's a better game than Ghosts and Goblins, but not by very much.
You know, I haven't really been doing the whole sliding scale thing. I think I like this better than either of the Double Dragon games.
Well, we let Jeremy do the sliding scale.
I know. That's why I haven't really been doing the sliding scale thing, but I feel like multiplayer in this game wouldn't really do anything because there's only ever one enemy at a time, so it would be completely unfair with them.
True.
I don't know. It's okay. This is not the worst game I've ever played. It's just very mediocre.
Exactly. And as we said last episode, mediocre games are a sin in a game where I can get Mega Man X for $4.
Or Double Dragon, where we could have hilarious experiences with a terrible game.
All right. So, Tyler, what are we playing next? Yep.
He's got that deer in a headlights look.
I realized that I didn't mention that it was your turn before, and this is beautiful.
Well, I haven't really thought about it much, but I think we should play Metal Marines.
I think I'm going to kill you now.
No, actually, F-Zero, because it's colorful.
I can get it on the Wii U Virtual Console. I loved F-Zero X.
I love that game.
F-Zero X is way better than the original F-Zero.
I'm sure it is.
But I don't think it's bad, although I've tried playing Super Mario Kart again recently, and that was...
Falcon Punch?
Falcon... No, not even that.
Falcon
like,
Kick?
Like kind of Falcon Finger Flick, maybe?
Okay, so next time on Last Time, Falcon Punch!
With cars. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games. Copyright 2013.
All of the video games and other media mentioned herein is copyright of its respective owners. That may not be obvious.
You can contact us at ltlvg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. And if you want us to contact one of us individually, I am Zach@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Tyler@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
Or Jeremy, Jeremy@lasttimeonvideogames.com.
You can visit our show page, if you don't want to hit the blog, at gplus.2/lasttimeonvideogames.
If you do want to visit the blog, lasttimeonvideogames.com.
And we've got an RSS feed. Probably click on it, or one of the other buttons on there.
We're also on iTunes.
And the Twitters.
Twitter is @LTOVG.
Unlike all the games we play on this show, we cannot be emulated. Yeah, we're going to cut that out.
Nope, that's in.
Yeah, you're not saving yourself from looking like an idiot on that one.
Fair enough.